Wonderful. Well, morning, everyone. It is great to see you this morning. Welcome back. Some of you have been on holiday and back in the Bay. Welcome. See, we've got a whole lot of Grand Lears, some of the hostel folk coming. Welcome to you guys. Great to have you with us. Hope that you'll come and join us often. And anyone here for the very first time, we don't embarrass you. We just got a little pamphlet for you. We'd love to welcome you. Why don't you raise your hand? Here we go, right here. Welcome, welcome. Anyone else? I met you guys already. Welcome. Great to see you. Anyone else? Fantastic. Make sure you grab a pamphlet. We do have a Hello Corner just on my left inside the coffee shop. So if you're here today and you're here because you know you need to get back into church, you haven't been in church, you've been looking for a church, Hello Corner is for you. We've got a team there. Just love to chat and connect with you a little bit. And you're more than welcome to join us there. All those online as well. Great to have you with us this morning. And we're going to dive right in and read God's word. So, Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to gather around your word together. Lord Jesus, you are the living word. Lord, our lives are changed when we choose you as our Lord. We bow our knee and we say, Jesus, your will be done. Your kingdom come in my life, through my life, my family, into our community and beyond. And Lord Jesus, we want to listen to your word this morning, but not just listen with ears, but listen with hearts that are ready to respond. I pray that you'd come and speak to every single one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm finishing off a reading through the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter is a beautiful book. Once a fisherman. This was Peter the fisherman. He loved fishing until he met this man, Jesus. And Jesus said, I'm going to change you now from a fisher of fish to a fisher of men. And basically became a sheep farmer, a pastor, looking after people, shepherding them. And as we've read through the book of Peter, he's looked at various aspects. But there's one interesting aspect I want to finish with today. And so if you have your Bibles, 1 Peter chapter 5, I'm going to read 6 of those verses. And it says, to the elders among you. To the elders among you. Now that's an interesting thing. Before, I don't want you to switch off. Elders is interesting. Let me do this. How many of you are over the age of 50? Just put up your hand. Be brave. That's right. There we go. So the word elders grew out of the Old Testament. They were the mature ones. They were the tribal leaders. They were the ones who were expected to set the example. And out of that, the tribal elders, they brought direction and protection. As much as Peter is speaking to church leaders here, and I'm going to explain that, I want you to be listening to this as well. Church, you guys are the pillars. If you've been around a while and you've gained some life experience, the next generations need your experience. It's not about just attending church. I love the concept of being a pillar in church, where you've learned that your life influences the people around you. We need mature believers. I want to ask this question. How many of you have been a follower of Jesus for more than 15 years? For more than 15 years ago, you gave your life to Jesus. Now, have a look at that. That's a whole lot of events. I'm speaking to you as well. Maybe you're young in age, but if you've been a follower of Jesus 10, 15, 20 years and beyond, then the Bible says by now, the writer of Hebrews says, you shouldn't be drinking milk anymore. By now, you should be teachers of God's word. And I want to encourage you and say you carry a responsibility. If you're a follower of Christ and have been for many years, by now, your life should be influencing and impacting the people around you. I'm talking to you today. Also talking to those who are walking in church leadership. It speaks about elders in church, and I'm going to describe Peter here is a fellow elder. He was a leader in the church, and we've got an amazing bunch of leaders. I'm going to talk about them in a moment. But I also want to talk to another few groups of people. How many of you are bosses or managers, or you business owners, or you carry some kind of leadership into the community, into a school, into a different environment? You see, what he's going to be talking about is how we lead in the kingdom of God. He's addressing the elders, church leaders. This is how you lead. But the beautiful thing, as followers of Jesus, it's our responsibility to take this gift of leadership, not just into the church world, but into the world around us. Our world needs great leaders. If you look at the news nowadays, the world's in a crisis about leadership. People don't trust leaders anymore. When people think leaders, they think people out to exploit us, hidden agendas, and there's no trust anymore between people and leaders. We need to get back to biblical leadership. And I want to encourage you, whether you're working in a factory, a school, wherever you are, to take this responsibility of kingdom leadership well? How do we lead in the kingdom of God? How do we work that out in our factory or work it out in our business to a world that desperately needs good leaders? I want to talk as well to you parents, husbands. One of the things we're really praying this year, men, ladies, I'm not excluding you, but in general, ladies, you're amazing. You faithful, passionate followers of Jesus. Men, we need to rise up. Men, we need to lead well and take responsibility well as husbands, as fathers, as community members, not abdicating leadership, but taking the role of headship and leading well. I want to address you today as well. And lastly, I want to address anyone, and I hope it's everyone, who feels a calling to walk in leadership. You young people, I want you to listen well today, because the gift of leadership is a gift that unlocks the gifts of others. That's why I love the gift of leadership so much. Leaders have vision. Leaders see a preferable future, and they're able to build teams, and they're able to unlock the gifts of others so that they can flourish. So to the elders among you, he carries on. He says, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's suffering, also who will share in the glory to be revealed. It's interesting the way he starts, and maybe I should just preface this to say leadership in the kingdom of God, we've got to understand up front, there's a price and there's a privilege. There's a joy and there's an ache. And it's interesting, Peter, as he's talking about leadership, he says, I'm a fellow elder, I'm a leader in the church. And then he says two things. I've witnessed Christ's suffering, and I'll share in the glory to be revealed. He saw Jesus, the ultimate leader, Jesus, who led as a servant leader. He brought this incredible leadership. Jesus, the greatest leader ever on planet Earth, now seated at the right hand of the Father. But Peter saw the result of Jesus' leadership. They nailed him to the cross. You see, not everyone wants good leadership. Not everyone wants to submit to leadership. And there's a price to pay. I've been in leadership many years, and many of you carry responsibility in leadership, and you'll know it's not always an easy job. Oftentimes, it's a thankless job. Oftentimes, people want to resist you and misunderstand you, and there's a price to pay. But also, and the glory, to share in the glory to be revealed. There's an incredible privilege, and I love what it says. We'll get down to another verse in verse 4 in a moment, but there's a beautiful, but it takes maturity. True leadership in the kingdom of God is when we're not thinking about now, we can think about the future, and we can think about eternity, and we can think, Lord, I want to invest my life now, helping others, leading others, walking in godly vision and calling, those things we heard about this morning, so that in eternity, we can share in your glory. So how do we lead in the kingdom of God? I've called it CSR leadership, just so that I can remember it. But let me read a couple more verses. Verse number 2, he addresses them and he says, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them not because you must, but because you're willing as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd, listen to this, when the chief shepherd, he's talking about Jesus now, appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In the same way, you who are younger, submit to your elders. All of you clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor or gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. So let's talk about kingdom leadership. How do we lead in the kingdom of God? And as I said, three things. CSR. I love CSR, and it's easy for me to remember. What do you think the C stands for? Caring. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. Watching over them, not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be. When you care for something, you are careful with that something. It's true, isn't it? If you really care about something, if something's precious to you, you will be careful with that something. And the very first thing God says to anyone who wants to walk in kingdom leadership, he's basically saying it's got to be rooted in love. The leadership of love is the leadership of the kingdom of God. Now, don't just think, okay, that works in church, but you don't understand. I work in a factory. No, no. Even in the factory, kingdom leadership is built on caring and love. People know and respond when they know you care for them and love them. Kingdom leaders are different because they love people. It's not just about projects. It's not just about bottom line. It's about people. All leadership is about people. We call to care. If you've stopped caring, then stop leading. Where there's a genuine love, there is a willingness. If the love goes, it becomes a job and it loses the glory and becomes dangerous. Moses is an amazing example of this. Moses, if you know your Old Testament, Moses was the prophet of God. He received the Ten Commandments. He was leading the people of Israel out of Egypt. Now they're in the desert. Moses goes up on the mountain, has these 40 days encountering God. God gives him the Ten Commandments. He comes down, his face is shining. He's been in the presence of the glory of God. And he gets down to the bottom and the people have built a golden calf to worship. The absolute opposite of everything God has commanded them. His brother Aaron, he was a weak leader in terms of, and certainly in that moment, and the people have built this idol, this golden calf. Moses is furious. He takes the God-given tablets, smashes them on the ground, grinds up this golden calf into dust, adds water, and makes the people drink it like Oros. You drink this stuff now that you wanted to turn into an idol. And then God says something to him. In Exodus chapter 32, verse 9, God says to Moses, I have seen these people, the Lord said to Moses, and they are a stiff-necked people. In other words, they're stubborn. Now, leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them. And then I will make you into a great nation. Oh, isn't that beautiful? And then I'll make you into a great nation. Can you imagine? I mean, as a leader now, Brent, these people, they are stubborn. I'm going to wipe them out. And then, Brent, I'm going to make you into a great nation. Can you imagine in that moment with all that humility, oh, God, let it be done to me according to your will. What did Moses say? No way, Lord. No, no. What about the people? God, you can't destroy these people. These are your people. Lord, you rescued them. You brought them out. You promised Abraham and Isaac. These are your people. God, far be it from you that your anger would consume them. And he cried out to God for the people, and he saved them. And I believe God was doing it simply to test Moses' heart. Moses, what's really in your heart? Are you loving your honor, or are you loving the people? And I believe Moses passed an incredible test right there. It's not about my honor, it's about the people. It's not about you and your glory, it's about the people God has given you responsibility for. Do you care? Amen? And this is what leadership is about in the kingdom of God, in your family, in your business, in your factory, wherever you might be. What does it mean for us outlookers? It means let's really love people, really love people. All of us really care. We don't want to play church. We don't want to play this plastic Christianity. No, no. Let's love and care for people. It means learning people's names. It means being hospitable and connecting with people. Please don't just come on a Sunday and always just speak to the same people. And you see someone you don't know and, well, I'm sure they'll speak to someone else and you ignore them. No, go and connect. Go and say hello. Go and invite someone for coffee. Draw them into your connect group. Invite them for a meal. Let's care, because that's where leadership comes from. Leadership follows caring. If you want to grow in a leader, how do I become a leader? Start caring for people. The more you care, the more people will follow. Investing in friendship, and not just in church, in every area of life. So C is for caring. Guess what S is for? Oh, you must be an elder in the church, Brennan. You're like so sharp. Said, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Eager to serve. This is so radically different to the worldly type of leadership. In the leadership of the world, the thinking is, now that I'm the leader, the people must serve me. Surely I've climbed the ladder, I've got to the top, now's my time for people. No, in the kingdom of God, it's exactly the opposite. The more you grow in leadership, the more you grow in serving. And the more, but here's the thing. If you've employed a servant and you tell them to do something and they do it, that's not really glorious. That's just them doing their job. But when you voluntarily serve, in other words, it's not expected, you're not paid, you do it because you care for people and you do it because that's who you are. That is worthy of respect and commendable. So it's not just willing to serve, it's willing to serve voluntarily. In other words, you putting up your hand, I'm willing to step in. I'm willing to do it. So this is not a paid responsibility. This is a heart of willingness to voluntarily serve. That's what inspires people. That's what makes people want to follow you. When you have, you could have every legitimate excuse not to do it, get someone else to do it, but you put your hand up and do it. I'm amazed sometimes when we've got a beautiful church, we've got an okay kitchen, and we've got an ugly courtyard. I'm being real. And that's where the dishes often get washed. And it's one thing to high five and spend time with people in the air-conditioned hall and then go into the coffee shop and enjoy some time. But then I look who's in the kitchen, and then you look who's in the courtyard. And sometimes when I see people who, and I know them, and I know they've got high-powered jobs and they might be managers or only own business or CEOs and this and that, but they're choosing the outside the courtyard to wash the dishes because other people are coming for coffee later on. And I think that's the heart of Jesus right there. And straight away, you know, this is someone I respect. This is someone I'd follow. This is someone who carries the heart of Jesus. That means leaders should give more than they receive. Comes from pure motives, not for dishonest gain, not about what you can get. I've been to nations, when you speak to people, and I've been to nations where they characterized by incredible corruption. You know, those countries that are some of the poorest nations in the world, and yet they've got the richest politicians in the world. And as you speak to the people, there's a kind of a saying, it's my turn now. And the thinking politically can sometimes be, it's now my time. I've come to power now. After all these years, now it's my time to reap. To reap all the contracts, to reap the salaries, to reap the this, to reap that. That's not kingdom thinking. Now it's my time to serve. Leaders in the kingdom of God give more than they receive. And you know what you do receive as a leader? There are times people come to me and say, oh, Brent, just want to thank you and the church. And I'm like, I don't even know what we've done. I don't even know what you're talking about, but thanks. I'll try and pass that on. And there are times when people come to me and they thank me and they give you recognition. But here's the thing. If you're receiving more than you're giving, then you're not leading. You're following. Leaders, we call to give more than we receive. And this is what Jesus said. And I think Peter learned it directly from Jesus in Matthew 20, 25. Jesus called his disciples together and he said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servants. It's beautiful. And whoever wants to be first, the leader, the captain, must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give. You see, that's what kingdom leaders do. They give, to give his life as a ransom for many. What does that mean, outlookers? It means keep growing your serving muscle. Come on, church, let's serve more than we did last year. To those of you who are part of serving teams, well done. Keep serving. Let's serve more. Maybe it's time to lead one of those serving teams. To those not part of a serving team, come on, get involved. That's where the fun is. Join a serving team. Get involved. Let's serve more than last year. Be the first to volunteer, not just in church, but everywhere. C is for? S is for? And I is for? How do you know that? Oh, no, come on, guys, man. Jeez. It's quite a nice badge, though. I like that title. I thought you guys were just so anointed. Just the presence of God is here. Verse 3 said, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but how do we inspire? But being examples to the flock. You see, leadership in the kingdom of God, it's not who's got a title, who's got a badge, who's got a... No, no. Who's setting a great, inspiring example? Leaders. The greatest tool of leadership that you have is the example of your own life. Leading by influence, not force. Setting example, not dictating. Your example sets the permission level and the expectation level. Bad examples, sadly, and parents, you'll know this, are even more powerful than a good example. I mean, I've got kids, they through their teenage years now. But I remember, I mean, Kate and I, all our years trying to teach them, please and thank you. It's not hard. Please. This is how you say please. Put your lips like this. Please. And then at the end say thank you. And you try for 18 years to instill it into your kids to say please and thank you. And then one day, Satan is probably in the vicinity and something goes wrong and you're having a bad day and you let slip a little bad word. Just like that. Kids have got it. Just heard it once. It's like, okay, we can swear now because dad did. Like 18 years trying to say please and thank you doesn't work. In other words, bad examples are even more powerful than a good example, which means, leaders, we're never off duty from setting a good example. I've shared my shocking testimony of Monday. You know, Monday, day off for a pastor. In other words, if you're going to have a day off from setting a good example, Monday. And I was in the grocery store, and you know, it's Monday, and now they're restocking the shelves, and it's a disarray, and they're advertising it's on special, but oh no, that finished on Sunday, so now you're paying more than you think, and there's no tills open, and it's Monday, and so now you're just irritated, and I finally get to pay, and I've taken it out on this poor cashier lady, and then she says, bye, pastor, I'll see you on Sunday. Oh, God. And you suddenly realize, oh, help me, Jesus, there's no day off from setting an example. Examples in the kingdom of God. I think Paul, the apostle, he understood the power of Jesus' example and our example. In fact, he said it in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. He said, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. It's a beautiful, that should be our leadership model. In fact, as he's training Timothy, Timothy's a young man, and Timothy's going to lead the church in Ephesus, and he's young, and many of the people in the church are older. And he's trying to lead them out of religion and into the freedom in Christ, but many of them come from a religious background, and they've got strong opinions, and they're opinionated, and they're intimidating, and Timothy's like, how am I supposed to lead some of these people? And Paul writes to Timothy, and he says, when you lead, but you're intimidated and you're young, and do you actually make a difference? He said, this is how you lead. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, he says, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example. That's how you lead. You set the example for the believers in speech, in conduct, or your lifestyle, in love, in faith, and in purity. Kingdom leadership inspires through example and not controls through threats or manipulation. So outlookers, that means let's set an example. Come on, this town, this city of ours needs example of great Christians who love Jesus. And don't just sing about loving Jesus, live lives that reflect loving Jesus. Examples of great character, integrity, consistency, trustworthy, generous, caring. Examples of worship, loving Jesus and serving him obediently and passionately. Examples of family life, in your marriage, your parenting, dealing with finances, etc. Examples at work, being the best bosses, the best employees, the best students, the best teachers, the most sought after people to hire. CSR leadership, caring, serving, inspiring. That's what Peter's saying. That's how we lead in the kingdom of God. Let me land on the flip side. And remember how we respond to leadership. Maybe you're younger, maybe you're new to the faith, maybe you're younger in age, maybe you're under leadership, as all of us are under leadership. One of the greatest revelation transformations in Peter's heart, and I spoke about it a few weeks ago, was understanding the power of submission. Understanding what it means to come under leadership. It doesn't quieten your voice, it actually amplifies it. You see, when we submit to leadership in the kingdom of God, God exalts and raises us up. In the same way, verse 5 said, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you clothe yourselves with humility towards one another because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand that he may lift you up in due time. Life is hard enough as it is. You don't want to live your life with the hand of God against you. And sometimes you think you're fighting Satan, you're not. You're fighting God because God says, I will resist the proud. I'll resist the proud. And if you're doing it with pride motives for your own glory and for what you can get out of it, actually the hand of God that should be behind you is against you. It's a warning, but it's also an encouragement. I'll resist the proud, but I give grace to the humble. I've shared this story before, but for me it was such a revelation moment. When I love riding bicycles, I was up in Joburg, and And they were going to go on this long ride. I didn't think I could do it. And they said, but why don't you ride my wife's e-bike? How many of you have ever ridden an e-bike before? You know what an e-bike is? Looks like a bicycle, but it's got a secret little motor inside of it so that as you pedal, it helps you along the way. I tell you, it's like stepping into the anointing of God. I'm telling you. I got on this thing, and like you still pedal, but it's like as you pedal, you feel like this power just coming through you. It was incredible. Next thing, hills. Bring the hills. I'm not worried about hills anymore because the bigger the hill, the more the power of this. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. That's what Peter is saying. If you want to live your life with the hand of God behind you, like the wind behind you, then deal with your heart. If you're living out of pride and arrogance, God will resist you. But as we humble ourselves, and then he leaves us with this beautiful encouragement. Humble yourself. Don't wait for God to humble you. You make the choice. Humble yourself under God's mighty hand, and he will lift you up in due time. Amen. I want to encourage you. We've got an amazing team of elders. Some of them are here this morning. Some come to second serve some evening. In fact, I got a photo. This is our elders team. For those of you who are new to the church, just CSR leadership change. There we go. So as you can see, here is an amazing bunch of elders. And hopefully you know all of them or getting to know some of them. I want to say a couple of things, though. Those are all the ordained. Remember, we train elders, but we get the New Covenant Ministries team, the NCMR team ordains them, like you saw Brandon and Natalie ordained at the end of last year. This year, we're pleased to say we've got 2.5 couples that we are going to be training as well. And so why don't you show us the 2.5 couples? These are not on eldership yet. Why are you laughing? I bet you were laughing at Chad, eh? I bet you. I just knew it. I knew it. Don't worry, Chad. I love you. So Salvin and Fiona and Funjo and Jade and their family and Chad. That means they're not on eldership, but we've invited them into the team so that we can train them for the year. They're part of our elders team, but then we trust that when the time is right, when they're ready, they will be ordained into our elders team as well. There's one other thing I want to leave us with today. As the church has grown bigger, ironically, a church can become lonelier. Now, what that means is when the church was really small, everyone knew everyone and everyone fitted in. It was one community. But as the church gets bigger, it doesn't feel like one community anymore. We've got to learn to think more about communities. And so the shepherd's job, pastors, elders, their job is to shepherd and to direct the affairs of the church. So what we've done here is you can see we've actually assigned the different shepherds over different suburbs so that they can really connect with people and pass them. I would love you right now, whatever suburb you live in, won't you connect to whoever's we've asked to watch over that suburb? And the job of the elders is to pass them, to shepherd, to build community, to connect with you. And so won't you try and connect with them? And it would be so helpful, even as you get to know the elders we've assigned over different suburbs, connect with them, say hi so that they know, so they can keep in contact and hopefully lead and guide you in your spiritual journey as well. Amen. Last but not least, please pray for the shepherds, the elders of this church. When leaders get better, everyone seems to grow and get better. And pray number two, we need more shepherds and pastors and leaders, not just in the church, but into our city, into our region, and the region beyond. Can you say amen to that? Why don't you stand with me, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. Jesus, you are the great shepherd. And when the great shepherd returns, we will share in that glory that will never fade away. Father God, I thank you so much for the elders among us, the pastors, the shepherds ordained to lead your people. But Father, I want to thank you as well for the mature ones, whether it be in age or especially spiritual maturity. Father, I pray that they, like pillars in the church, would lead well and set an example well of what it means to follow Jesus. Father, I pray for everyone in leadership positions. From some might be leading companies, we might have people who are leading at school as prefects, monitors, what, head boys, head girls. Father, I pray for godly leadership, kingdom leadership, leadership that cares, leadership that serves, and leadership that inspires. Father, may our leadership bring out the best in the people around us. I pray, Father God, that Outlook Church would be known as a seedbed of great leadership for our city, nation, and the regions beyond. Thank you, Lord. Just with our eyes closed for a moment, two things. Number one, there's some of you here who you've never seen yourself as a leader before. You've kind of had bad experience, maybe with church leadership or something, and you've always kind of been hiding away. And yet, somewhere deep inside your heart, as I was speaking this morning, it's like the Holy Spirit is knocking on the door of your heart and saying, I've called you to step in and lead. And for some of you this morning, I'm praying that you'll come before the Holy Spirit, lay down in repentance, lay down your excuses, justification, hiding away, and say, Lord, I want to offer my life. If you want to use me to lead, here am I, Lord, use me. And for some of you, it might be time this year to begin to put up your hand, to carry responsibility, to begin to carry a leadership role, to come to some of our leadership training, because God has called you into leadership. Some others of you who might be here this morning, and you've never followed the leadership of Jesus. You've heard about Jesus, but you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord. That means your leader. And when you accept Christ as your leader, you follow him. Jesus said, come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. That's what it means to be a Christian. It means to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord, and then he becomes your Savior. And just with all of our eyes closed this morning, if that's you this morning, I'd love you to say, yes, Lord, here am I. Just with our eyes closed, is there anyone here this morning who's never received Jesus Christ as their Lord? They've never said, yes, Lord, I want to follow after you. Why don't you put up your hand very quickly? Anyone like that? Just no pressure, but I just want to give people a chance to respond. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, you've seen those hands. And I pray right now by the power of the Holy Spirit that there would be a full surrender to you, Lord. Full surrender. Like Peter and John said, they left their boat, their nets, their father. They left everything and they began to follow Jesus. Father, I pray for all of us, followers of Jesus, turning from sin, turning from our past, turning from our agenda, and we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Thank you, Jesus. I want to encourage any of you who were, should I respond, shouldn't I, did I put up my hand? Maybe you did put up your hand. We'd love to pray for some of you right now. If you do need prayer in any other way for healing, come and join us now. I want to say as well, Thursday, baptism class, I'm going to be teaching a class about baptism. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. If you've got questions about baptism, 7 o'clock on Thursday, baptism class right here in the coffee shop. I'd love to spend some time with you. Father, thank you so much for your goodness and for your grace. Thank you, Lord God, that you've called us to be a people, sons and daughters of God who lead. And I pray for that grace to be upon us. Thank you that as we go, Lord, we go knowing your gracious hand rests upon us. In Jesus' name.